through his blood, as well as, we also looked at the forgiveness of our trespasses. We have been predestined to have our sins paid for by Jesus at the cross, a ransom paying for our sin debt, and setting us free to be God's adopted children, chosen in love from before the foundation of the world. Today, we see that our sins are forgiven, forgiven according to the riches of his grace, according to his immeasurable riches. God's infinite wealth for the poorest of the poor. God's riches of his grace for the poor in spirit. This is the measure of our salvation. God's riches to those who have nothing. The Father's storehouses of mercy, full to overflowing with his grace, storehouses which our older brother has been made Lord over, we've talked about this, over all that is the Father's, of the Father's storehouses of grace, our elder brother administers and dispenses freely and generously of his riches, spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, grace upon grace. Ephesians 4:7, you can just pop over there, a couple of chapters over, reads, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Each one of us, those in Christ, have been given grace. A little grace? How much grace? According to his riches. Not even according to our need. His gift is according to his riches. The whole wealth of God, infinite wealth, according to the measure of Christ's gift. This gift is immeasurable. How do you measure the gift of salvation? In Ephesians 2, verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which he loved us," notice what God has done for his adopted children. Verse 5, "even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We don't only have spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, we are seated with God in the heavenly places because we are in Christ. Even now, and I cannot wrap my mind around that, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Why? Why would God do this? Verse 7, "so that in the coming ages he might show," right? So that he might manifest his glory, show himself, his infinite character, so that he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, "for by grace have you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." What is this grace? What is this gift of God? Grace is unmerited favor of God. God's favor gifted to those who could never earn it. Look at Titus 2. Titus 2. Titus 2. Verse 11, "for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And I know people jump to that and they go, oh, look, all people, salvation. The grace of God is never mentioned in regard to all of mankind. This is all types of people, collectively, right? Bringing salvation for all peoples, if you will, people groups. So, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Grace is the sole source from which flows the goodwill, love, and salvation of God unto his chosen people. Grace is the vehicle for God's benevolence towards sinful people. The eternal and absolute free favor of God. Grace is shown to the guilty and the unworthy. Spiritual and eternal blessings, infinite and immeasurable, poured out upon us. God's grace is the sovereign and saving favor of God exercised in the gift of blessings upon those who have no merit in them, and for those which nothing we could do would be able to earn. Nothing we can do can earn this grace. No payment is even demanded from us in return. God gifts this saving grace to us, free, undeserved mercy and favor to such sinful and guilty creatures. And by this grace, we are made right. We are made right before God. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This grace justifies. God declares the guilty sinner as legally righteous before him, right? Justification. God's grace is the gift of innocence in his courtroom. The guilty sinner is declared to be innocent of wrongdoing. God's grace gives us right standing. We are made holy and blameless before him. A gift. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. A gift of immeasurable worth. For by grace you can save through faith. It's not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Back in Ephesians 1, this forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8 says, which he lavished upon us. These riches of his grace have been lavished upon us. This is over and above, exceeding, overflowing. Grace that fills and pours over the sides. Not just enough. Far more than needed. Picture a child. Picture a child. Hey, Dad, there's a gumball machine. Can I get some gum? Sure, son. Here's $1 billion. Like, that's what we're dealing with here. That's what we're dealing with here. Again, we have to point this out. It's not according to our need. His gift is according to his riches. God lavished upon us. The only ones who have the riches of his grace lavished upon them are those that are his own children. God lavishes grace upon grace only in the beloved, in Christ. those that have been chosen by God, predestined for adoption, a particular number of people for whom Christ Jesus died, and he actually purchased by his blood, are gifted this immeasurable grace. Next, we see how God has done this. How has this all come to God's people? How has God accomplished this work? How is it that we have redemption in Christ through his blood? How is it that we have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace? Verse 8 says, which he lavished upon us. Right? It has come to us in all wisdom and insight. He lavished his grace upon us in all wisdom and insight. God's plan has been revealed to us. We've been shown God's infinite wisdom. We've been given insight. We see what was the wise counsel of the Godhead from eternity past. God has made known to his elect why he has done what he has done. God has revealed his purpose to us. We've been shown what was decreed before the foundation of the world. His elect have been shown these things. John 15. We talked about this Wednesday night, and I'm like, oh man, this is great. No longer do I call you servants, slaves. For the servant, slave, does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. That's straight from Ephesians, right? Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I chose you and appointed you. Predestined us for adoption. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's our gift. Grace upon grace lavished upon us. These things I command you, why? So that you will love one another. Look at verse 9, Ephesians 1. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. There's your staircase. Jacob's ladder. Making known to us the mystery of his will. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. This is divine revelation. It is the gospel of our salvation. Previously a mystery, now revealed to those enlightened by God's grace. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? Then the mystery has been revealed to you. The good news publishes the glad tidings of great joy. It contains within it the offer of reconciliation and peace with your God. The mystery revealed now in the new covenant, the mystery of his will now made known to us. We have the full revelation of Christ in the gospel. The gospel has been lavished upon us. Ephesians 3, verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of man or men in the generations as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The gospel points out the way that leads to salvation. You are commanded, as a response to the gospel, to repent and believe. And you may partake of the promise. The promise given to Adam and Eve of a redeemer, one that would crush the serpent's head. The promise given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that we would be blessed in their offspring, the Messiah. The promise given to David of one who would sit on the throne for all eternity, on his throne for all eternity. You may partake in the promise given to Israel as a mystery, but now revealed in all wisdom and insight. Before the foundation of the world, planned salvation through the gospel. And the gospel is revealed to the elect in and as wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The gospel is all wisdom and insight. God's plan revealed. And it is this: the unsearchable riches of Christ. An overflowing treasure of mercy, grace, and love laid up in Christ Jesus. And it is for both Jews and Gentiles. The riches of the gospel are spoken as the riches of Christ. It is lavished upon us, not according to our need, but according to the riches of his grace. The riches which Christ purchased for and gifted to all those who would believe. Knowledge, wisdom, insight is revealed to us through the mind of Christ, who is himself the true wisdom, or the word of God. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, if the mystery has been revealed to you, it is the Holy Spirit who causes the understanding and the application of the gospel to be effectual to the salvation of souls, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. When time is complete for all eternity, to unite all things in him. We have had a glimpse. He has shown us what he's doing. We have a glimpse into what the Godhead chose to do in the council from before the foundation of the world. The uniting of Jew and Gentile in him. He is the true Israel. Union in and through Christ. United with Christ. United to Christ. Do you see why unity in the church is so important? If you're united to Christ and I'm united to Christ, how can we hate each other? How can we slander each other? James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. You'll be known by your love for one another. That's the work of the gospel. The gospel is the wisdom that comes down from above. God has made known and revealed his plan, the gospel, to his friends. God is and will reconcile all things to himself according to his great purpose and plan. And when you believe, when you're presented with the gospel, you're presented with the wisdom it lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, the mystery of his will. You've been shown what he's doing according to the riches of his grace, the gospel. He is reconciling all things to himself according to his great purpose and plan to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, all for his glory. He has lavished upon us forgiveness, not according to our need, but according to the riches of his grace, according to his gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the riches of your grace revealed, that we have a glimpse into the counsel of the Godhead, of what you are doing and will do from the time, from before time began. You show those who are your friends the riches of your grace, and it causes us to be forgiven. It causes us to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. When we understand and you apply the gospel, the riches of your grace, we are blessed beyond belief. We recognize your plan to redeem a people. We recognize that it is us. We see that we've been chosen. You predestined us. And as we look back at these beautiful promises, at these beautiful things that you are accomplishing, we can only give you glory. I praise you today for uniting all things in Christ. We look forward. We look forward to you uniting all things in heaven, all things on earth, reconciling all things to yourself. Father, may you reconcile all those who hear. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see the riches of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And thank you for the riches of your grace.